This is KQEN Local Talk at 4. Every weekday, News Radio 1240 KQEN brings you local information at 4 o'clock. Now, the Mike Winters Lawn and Garden Show. From Wintergreen Nursery Landscaping and Florist, here's the Commissioner of Dirt, Mike Winters, and the Mike Winters Lawn and Garden Show on News Radio 1240 KQEN.
Well, good afternoon, Mike. Good to see you again.
Well, are you sure?
Yeah.
Okay, well, then we might have a pretty good show then.
We always have a good show.
Well, you know, except for your weather report. I didn't like your forecasting. Yeah, well, I'm cold.
Sorry about
it's,
that.
It's cloudy. It's not sunny. It's not warm. What's wrong with you, people? Where do you get your info anyway?
Just on a piece of paper.
Yeah, well, you should go outside once in a while and look at the sky, for crying out loud.
Yeah.
Oh. Yeah, speaking of weather, I've got, well, anyway, thank you for listening. And if you have a question about any part of your landscaping, it doesn't matter if I'm speaking about that part or not, you can call 673-4464, ask your question, and we'll have a conversation, a nice one, because it'll be about plants, not people. And again, 673-4464. And this, this show is... designed to give you ideas and hints and suggestions and solutions to your landscape problems and, you know, what's good to plant, what's not good to plant, and what you can do with your lawn, because that's what I'm going to speak about today is lawns because of, you know, I've been rained out on the last two jobs in the last three, 4 days, and last week... we had, what, three?
Well, yesterday was a good day.
Well, yeah, one out of seven.
A weather tease.
Yeah, good. But, you know, and last week we had like three dry days, and I was, you know, gearing up, you know, to get these couple of small jobs done, and I was ready to go on Monday. But then the rain started Saturday night and soaked the ground, and normally that doesn't... stop us, but this was a thatching aeration type thing where you got to go in, and with had we done it with the ground soaked, it would have been a mess. And,
yeah.
You know, so these jobs, like I said, were scheduled for lawn renovation, and that consists of thatching, aeration, fertilizing, and all that. But, however, the lawns were so wet, because I walked around just to check them first, and they were so wet.
Gosh.
I mean, the water was almost splashing out of them, for crying out loud. The machines would have done a lot of damage, because the machines are, you know, very heavy, mm-hmm. and they tear up the grass. Well, this would have probably tilled a hole in the middle of the lawn and everything Ooh. Else, you know, that
They probably wouldn't have liked that.
No, they wouldn't have paid me probably either. Well, here it is. It's done. Sorry about the holes in your lawn.
Yeah.
But I would have probably had to install new sod lawns instead of rehabbing them. So that's the thing. But lawns have to be, you know, somewhat dry to thatch them properly. And like I said, the a thatching machine combs the dead grasses to the surface. And they're, I don't know how to say it, there's little steel tines, if you will, and they spin very quickly and they comb.
Oh, okay.
You set the level and then you comb it through very lightly and see, you know, how much dead stuff you get out of it. And then you walk around and see if it's still... you know, spongy, I guess. And if it is, then you thatch it again in the opposite direction.
Oh, okay. Make sure you get all of it.
Yeah, and if it's, and I don't mean bone dry, but dry enough to where the machine doesn't penetrate and actually till up the ground and totally destroy the lawn.
Yeah, here comes Big Bertha.
Right. Okay. But it's essentially a thinning process. You're thinning the old grass from the new, and it brings up some of the new grass, but not normally, because the old dead grass is laying underneath. the new stuff, or you know, intermixed with it. So yes, it's loose. So as this the combing effect combs them up to the surface, and you know, at first you look at this lawn, yeah, there's some brown spots and some thick spots and all that kind of stuff, but then you go through it one time, and you've got piles and piles of dead grass.
Gross.
Yeah. Oh, and you think, how did all that come out of this little lawn here?
Yeah.
You know, that, I mean, you got two or three pickup loads of dead grass to haul away from a from a an average size lawn. Let's say, average size, say 1,000 square feet. You know, something like that.
And all of that suffocating. That
All that. What happens when the thatch builds up? I mean, thatch roofs in the tropics, in the islands, keep out the rainwater, right?
Yeah.
That's why they use thatched roofs. Well, when the thatch builds up in the grass and you sprinkle and you water, the water is not penetrating into the lawn, and consequently it dries out too quickly when good weather returns, and then the good grass has
burns.
No moisture and begins to burn and die.
Yeah.
So, you know, that's the purpose in the renovation, is let's get the dead stuff out so that you can aerate, which means pulling the plugs of soil out, and then you can fertilize, and then you have a good response to the existing lawn. It goes, whoa, we can grow. Look at this. We've got room. And
we can breathe.
And exactly. And the water actually gets down into the root systems where it does the most good. Like, yeah, okay.
This feels good.
Yeah. And I can grow. So, and like I say, when I say dry, I don't mean like July dry. I mean, sometimes you walk along your lawn around it, and if it feels spongy, that's too wet.
Mm.
But if it doesn't feel spongy, but you know there's moisture in it, that's a good time. That's good timing. And a lot of times, if you do it in the middle of the summer, it's real easy because that dead stuff comes out and just truckloads. It's just real. And you wouldn't believe all that dead stuff was underneath until you go through it with a thatching machine.
Wow.
You know, and people go, wow, I didn't know all that.
There must have been tons of it in Dad's yard.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
He never believed in
Thatching and fertilizing and stuff like that. I know. I'd like to meet your dad someday. But like I say, it's essentially a thinning process with the ground. If you did it when it's wet, then it's going to sink down. It's going to put ruts in it, or it's going to dig too deep, and you don't want all that. You don't want it to act like a rototiller and do all this great damage, and because that would have been the result.
That's what I was thinking of when you were describing.
Yeah, well, it's the same action as a rototiller, but the tines are a little bit bigger than this ballpoint pen.
Okay,
and they're all in a row, and there's a very 10 rows of them, and the machine, and it's spinning on a wheel, and it's just going through,
just grabbing
exactly. And until you've done it, you go, what are you talking about, thatching my lawn, you know? Well,
makes sense as you describe it.
Exactly. Yeah. And even when you see it, then you go, whoa, man, I can't believe all that stuff was down there. So
all that garbage.
Yeah. So if you think your lawn needs thatching, if you've walked around, it feels really spongy and bouncy as you walk, that's the thatch buildup underneath the green stuff that's trying to grow. And like I say, wait until the ground is somewhat dry. Drier than it is right now today, for instance, and that might be April, that might be May. Depends on our weather guy over here,
our weather guesser,
the weather guessers. You know, I don't know, but it will be a vast improvement. It will be, you'll be amazed at how that lawn will recoup and get going. And, you know, all lawns get thick with this dead grass. And then that's when you begin to see all the dead spots. You know, there's a little tiny dead spot. And then pretty soon that tiny dead spot's about 2 feet across or something. And it starts to spread because the whole lawn, say it's a 10-year-old lawn and had never been thatched. Well, that's your bottom line there. Oh, my gosh, what's going on with my lawn? You know, well, it just needs to be thinned. Like if you went to get a haircut and you never thinned your hair, it'd be sticking out of your eyebrows after a while, I guess. I don't know.
Yeah, mine would be all gray.
Yeah. Oh, you must dye yours, huh? But this thatch happens, like I said, because it doesn't allow the water really to get down into the root systems. And, of course, fertilizer cannot penetrate the thatch. So very little water or fertilizer cannot feed your lawn. And so, consequently, it looks shaggy. It looks shoddy. It's kind of yellowish. There's some brown spots. It's ugly.
It's not feeling well.
It's not feeling well, yes, at all. But now, to help prevent thatch buildup, you can take a hard rake, like a garden rake, and go through there and rake it, and you'd get a lot of that stuff out. But if your lawn is 5,000 square feet, that would take you about 2 months to do.
But and a lot of sore muscles.
Yeah, but it was only 500 square feet. You could probably do it in a day and not have to rent a machine. Because the machines rent for, they run maybe $70 to $80 a day. And there's a minimum, of course, and, you know, $50 or something like that. So it can be kind of expensive. But they go very, very fast. And if you get we've got good operators, so if you're going around and you can't hurt anything. Well, the thing you could hurt is if you had sprinkler heads in the lawn. Prior to that event of thatching, you mark all the sprinkler heads with a piece of white PVC pipe so you can see them very clearly and steer clear of them. And then you might have to do a little bit of rake work around each one after the fact. Yeah. And that's okay. So here are the steps to accomplish this.
We got 2 minutes for the break. You want to take a break now? Okay,
take the break now, and then we'll get into the steps.
All right.
There's 28 steps.
We will be tiptoeing steps
through the lawn.
Next, News Radio 93.9 FM and News Radio 1240 KQEN.
This is KQEN Local Talk at 4 on News Radio 1240 KQEN.
We are here, are we not?
I hope we are here because I don't want to be anywhere else at this point.
Yeah, your wife might get suspicious.
Yeah, you were not on your show.
That was a rerun.
Well, if you have a question, 673-4464. I'm talking about thatching and aerating your lawn and regenerating it because I've noticed some lawns are a little bit rough and a little bit shaggy as I drive around. Yeah, I mean, that stuff automatically pops into my eye, and I'm thinking, why doesn't that person thatch his lawn? But anyway, after the thatching part is done and you've already cut the lawn short, you've thatched it, you've got all this truckloads of dead grass out of here, then you're going to aerate. And there's a machine that does that. It's even heavier than the thatching machine. It's a beast. But what it does, it pulls plugs of soil out of the lawn. And that way it aerates, it opens up the oxygen flow into the root systems of the grass.
Yeah.
And it also allows you, because the last step is fertilizing the lawn, because you've fertilized in the past, but it hasn't got down through the thatch.
Mm-hmm.
So consequently, some of it has, but
you're not enough.
Not enough, you're not correcting the situation. But when you pull those plugs and you go ahead and fertilize it then and water it, then that fertilizer gets down into the root zone of the grass, and then you see an explosion of green in like within a week to 10 days.
Doesn't take long at all.
Yeah, no, it doesn't.
Nice.
And you can't use the cheapo stuff that you can buy for $2 a bag. You gotta get some good expensive fertilizer for the best result. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's all there is to it.
Yeah.
But so here it is.
Okay.
Step one, it's to cut your lawn short. This is the first thing you do. You just cut it short, you scalp it, and get all the...
My dad's method.
Your dad's method, exactly. So you cut it short, very short. Then that's when you thatch the dead grass because you got a more in-depth target, if you will, because that way you can do a more thorough job because you can reach all the way down into the to the bottom of that.
Oh, okay.
And like I said, you'd be amazed at the amount of dead grass that comes out of there. Mm. So just you can haul it away, or you can just rake it up and start a compost pile in the corner of your yard, because in a year that, that dead grass will have degenerated into fine, fine compost, and you can actually use it to plant stuff in.
Oh, you know, okay.
That's how good it is.
And it's organic.
Oh, yeah, it's organic. It's just sitting there, and the sun's beating it, and the rain's hitting mm-hmm. it, and every once in a while you take a pitchfork out there and kind of turn it over. And as you turn it over, the stuff on the bottom is dark brown to black, mm. and it's already started to disintegrate and decompose. Mm-hmm. And so you swap ends, and another 6 months, a year goes by, and the whole pile is that way, and then bingo, mm. you're ready to go. So
kind of reminds me of rotten hay in the barn.
Exactly. Yeah, exactly. That's what happens. You get get hay, and it's been sitting there a long time, and the bottom of it's black,
mm-hmm.
you know, because it's decomposing right before your very eyes. but like saying, if you continue to do this on a fairly regular basis, I mean, it doesn't have to be done every year, but every 3, 4, maybe 5 years, depending on the type of grass you have, you can build quite a nice compost pile. And if you have trees and shrubs that shred leaves in the fall and winter, mm-hmm. you, instead of packing up those leaves and throwing them and going to the dump with them, add those to your compost pile and turn it over with the grass clippings, and voila, you got the best. You can't buy stuff that good from the nursery or from a compost store. And that's
nice.
that's what we do. And we have probably, we have 4 large piles at the nursery. And like my maintenance crew, when they're cutting lawns and when they are doing the leaf thing in the fall and winter, we don't go to the dump with that. We take it out into the back of our field and put it in piles out there. Mm-hmm. And, you know, a year and a half goes by, and it's ready to go. It's ready to be used as planting soil.
And it's free.
And we mix that with some bark and a little bit of topsoil, and you've got the best mix in the whole world right there. So you can do the same thing in your yard. That's mm-hmm. my point of all this. Okay, we went through the step one. That's the thatching. Step two is the aeration. And again, if the soil is on the dry side, you'll have success. What it does, it pokes holes down. It actually pulls plugs of soil out. To a depth of about 3 or 4 inches.
Mm.
So it's pulling those out. And so then when you fertilize, that fertilizer gets down where it's supposed to do and does its job. Exactly. Now, to keep thatch to like a minimum, you got to buy a good mower. You know, that's all there is to it. You got to get a good mower.
Not one of those $99 specials.
No. we run Honda mowers for the most part.
Are good mowers.
Yeah, and on our small lawns, and then we have Walker mowers that are riding mowers on our bigger lawns. But Honda mower really has a good vacuuming system, so it's picking up a lot of I'd say 90% of the grass that's actually being cut, and that will prevent thatch from building up so quickly.
Mm-hmm.
It will build up over time, even with the best mower in the world, but it won't, it might be 10 years between thatching and aerating, whereas with a mower that's not as good or doesn't have as good a suction set apparatus on it, you might have to, every 3 to 5 years, you mm-hmm. do the thatching thing. Or maybe you don't even care, and it doesn't matter, and that's cool. At my house, I'm out in the boonies, so I really don't, and I don't irrigate my lawn at all in the summer. I don't have the water to just wholesale water it, so it's dead, but it stays green till about June. And I cut it, but I do bag it, and it gets bagged, and I pile it up, and I make my own compost there. But the alternative, of course, the alternative to mowing and thatching and aerating is a fake lawn.
Fake
turf lawn. Yeah,
there you go.
And they're becoming more and more popular all the time. You got no mowing, no watering, no fertilizing, you know. All you need is a great vacuum cleaner to suck up the dust and the dirt twice a year, maybe.
That seems like a pain in the rear end.
It would seem that way, too. But there is nothing like real grass.
Absolutely.
That's all there is to it. But to keep it nice and lush and green, there's labor, equipment, and chemicals that have to be used on a regular basis to maintain the health of that grass. And there's a lot of other benefits to having a regular grass lawn rather than a fake one. Even though a fake one, it looks good. And in certain circumstances, it's fine. Like at what's the car dealership up there at Garden Valley and Stevens, Clint Newell.
Cool, okay.
You know, he took out all the real grass along that strip, and then he put the turf, the artificial turf down. And it looks fine. Yeah, I mean, if you didn't know better, you'd think, boy, what a pretty lawn that is. You know, I watched them put it in. It's got a gravel base, compacted gravel base that's smooth, and then they lay this carpeting down.
serves a purpose, I guess.
Yeah, and you can hose it off or, like I say, vacuum it or something like that, because there's a lot of dust and stuff from the traffic and all that. And it's good. And we did Legion Field that way a few years back, too.
Oh, okay.
And I don't maintain Legion Field anymore because we don't have real grass there. But I guess somebody has to get out there and with some kind of a vacuum sweeper or something.
A broom.
There would be a lot of brooming there. But anyway, real grass, here's some of the benefits of real grass.
Okay.
It cools your entire property. It really cools it. On a hot day, say like in the 90 to 100, you know, you got your sidewalks and your streets, and they can be even hotter,
you know.
So they generate a lot of heat, and they remain hot through the night and all that, whereas a lawn is cooler than concrete, and when the sun goes down, the lawn is cooler as well. I mean, it just automatically starts to cool off. I mean, it's a natural air conditioning kind of thing. And that's all there is to it, you know, because grass absorbs and deflects sound as well. And believe it or not, a lawn will dissipate sound, not like a wall or anything like that. But there's a there's a positive there that happens. So if your home is a little quieter, it's because you got a nice lawn out there. And if you have trees and shrubs in your yard, this also adds to a reduction of noise and a reduction of heat.
That explains why the neighbors couldn't hear Dad.
There you go. You know, a lot of lawn.
Well, we had no patience. And, the sound.
Oh, gosh.
Sorry, Dad.
Yeah, it's okay. I don't know if he's listening. But a healthy lawn. A healthy lawn removes carbon dioxide from the air and produces oxygen in return. So lawns are good in that respect.
Yeah.
You know, you'll hear a lot of talk about lawns are too expensive and they're too frivolous and they're too wasteful.
Too much work.
And there's some negative things that can be said about that. But they do create oxygen. they have a cooling effect on your yard. They have, in essence, that's a cooling effect on your home as well.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it might only be a couple of degrees.
But that can make a lot of difference.
Exactly.
Yes, sir.
And, like I say, it reduces noise. I don't know how grass reduces noise, but I guess it just acts as a buffer of some sort. And like I say, it removes the carbon dioxide from the air around you and produces oxygen in return. And in fact, a lawn that is 625 square feet. Now, I'm not making this up. I read about this. A lawn that is 625 square feet supplies all the oxygen one person needs for one day.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
That's what this scientist wrote about. Now, a 5,000 square foot lawn, which is, fairly good sized lawn, produces enough oxygen for 8 people each day. So that's, it takes about 200 foot trees to produce the same amount of oxygen that a 5,000 square foot lawn would produce.
Wow, isn't that something?
Yeah, and you think, well, trees, they're big and they got lots of leaves and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
I I don't really agree with that, but that's what the guy wrote.
Okay.
And I think, yeah, I think a 100-foot tree would produce an awful lot of oxygen here, but, you know. But he wrote the book. I didn't.
He's the expert, yeah. Alleged.
Yes, alleged expert. And grass, of course, controls erosion. It traps water. It keeps the dust at a minimum. And a healthy lawn absorbs rainfall 6 times more effectively than bare ground. Because on bare ground, what you're going to do is get erosion. You're going to get puddling, and then it's going to be runoff and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
So that lawn will absorb to the point where you don't have mud puddles. You don't have a whole lot of water problems or foundations and stuff like that. And in 1 year's time, grass blades and roots in an acre of healthy grass absorbs hundreds of pounds of pollutants from the air and rainwater, like sulfur dioxide, nitrogen oxide, hydrogen fluoride, and nitrates and other gases.
I'll be darned.
So it's a cleanser. It absorbs that and makes it real again. You can actually breathe, you know, hey, and you won't die.
You would never think of that, would you?
Right. No, you don't. I was doing this research, and I go, wow, I didn't even know that.
Yeah.
Hey, that's cool.
The grass does all that.
The grass is good, man.
Okay. Especially in the 70s.
Yeah, it was. Grass cools the earth and makes it cleaner. That's the bottom line. And now you know how valuable golf courses and parks are.
Well, there you go.
When you think of the great, I don't know how many acres Stewart Park Golf Course is, but it's, you know, quite a good size.
Yeah.
And then you got the park and the river and all that right along there. I mean, that's good. More parks is actually beneficial to our health, not only mentally, but physically as well. Hmm. And, you know, and sometimes if you don't know these things, you think, well, why are they making a park here? Or this park is too big, or this is good for us.
Why they're doing it.
Yeah, that's why they're doing it. We got a break?
We do.
Okay.
All right.
I will return, honest.
If I can get the button to work.
That's okay. You can do it.
Yes, sir. We'll be right back on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.
This is KQEN Local Talk at 4 on News Radio 1240 KQEN.
Well, that's why you don't have any drop calls. You got a brand new phone.
That's right. And if they drop me, so what? I don't know. I'll talk to them anyway.
Next.
Yeah.
We are back with the Mike Winters Lawn and Garden Show on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN. And we haven't gotten a call yet, Mike.
I don't know. 673-4464. Maybe everybody's out, you know, working in the garden. Who knows?
Thatching.
Thatching. They went out and got a thatcher. Started thatching. Oh, gosh. You know, there are some lawnmowers that have a thatching attachment that you can put on, but they wear out very quickly because they're not built like a commercial thatching machine.
Probably made in China.
No, I don't know. I think they were made in Guam. I'm not sure. But they're just less substantial, I guess would be the word for it. So they bend easily or break and that kind of thing. So, I mean, if you did it right, I guess it could last for a while. But I don't think it's worth the extra expense that... But at any rate, I hope that you were paying attention in this last few segments about why why grass does what it does and why it turns what in yellow and gets spongy and doesn't look good after, you know, a few years. But and of course the artificial turf is a big thing nowadays, and like I say, it always looks nice, but the flip side of that, it absorbs heat and it stays hot all day and most of the night. it doesn't have the same properties as a regular grass field or lawn has. For instance, I went to a baseball tournament in Medford several years ago when one of my grandsons was playing Babe Ruth baseball. They had a big tournament down there in the fields. Right next to I-5, just south of Medford a little bit, maybe a mile or so. And they're all brand new. At that time, they were all brand new artificial turf. And I mean, they looked beautiful. And it was a gorgeous, gorgeous field. And, you know, Medford gets pretty hot in the summer. And I think this was sometime in June, maybe the first part of July. I'm not sure of the month. But it was fairly warm, say, oh, gosh, 85 degrees, and we were there, say, 10 or 11 o'clock in the morning waiting for the first game to start. And before it started, before any of the players really showed up, I thought, I'm going to walk out there and just feel. I just wanted to walk and feel how it was, you know. And I walked out there into center field and around the base paths. And one thing I noticed was I felt the heat already at that time of day. I felt the heat coming up through my tennis shoes. It wasn't, you know, on fire, scorching hot, but it was warmer. It was warmer than the gravel that was around the bleachers, for crying out loud. And then I'm thinking, gee whiz, at 4 o'clock this afternoon, when it's 105, those kids are going to be roasting out there on that field. And as we were sitting in the bleachers, you could feel the extra heat coming off the field.
Oh, my.
I mean, it was, you know, just a few degrees, but you could actually
feel it. Yeah.
And especially if a little breeze came along, you know, and it kind of blew in our direction. You know, wow, where's all that hot air coming from? Well, it's coming from those baseball fields. And they had, like, I think four of them in a circle. And so the bleachers are all inside the inner part of the circle. So you're getting the heat from four of them you know, that is blowing around in there.
And it's all organic.
Oh, yeah. Okay. And it's neat and it's clean and there's not a lot of maintenance, but there are some drawbacks to it. And if you do your yard that way, you have to think about all the ramifications that will occur after it's in. And the thing that you have to do to the ground to prep it. I got a bid from one of my competitors on putting in an artificial lawn in one of my clients' homes. Oh. And, oh, gosh, it wasn't that big. I doubt if it was 1,000 square feet.
Oh, okay.
But the process, he gave me a price of, I think, was $9,000 or something along that. And I went, whoa, $9,000? I could put a brand new lawn in here for
$2,000. Wow.
But at any rate, I said, well, what actually do you do? He said, well, we got to excavate all this ground in here down to, I think he said, 6 or 8 inches. And then we have to fill it with crushed rock, compact it, and then put a finer layer of rock on top of that and compact and level that before we can put the turf down. So there was a real process that they had to go through.
Yeah.
to get it all done. Whether it was worth the $9,000, the homeowner didn't think so.
Well, good for the homeowner.
And I didn't think so either. But at any rate, the homeowner is still my client, and I'm still doing work for him. But we're gonna try to thatch it the old-fashioned way and try to revitalize. The problem is, too, in his front yard, he's got this huge, I think it's a maple tree, I'm not sure. It's been, the tree's probably 40, 50 years old, got about a 2-foot diameter trunk, and it's 100 feet tall. And it's got roots going on the surface, and those tree roots suck out all the nutrition from the lawn because he's got a sprinkler system in the lawn. And so when the water comes on, the grass gets robbed because the tree is bigger.
Yep.
See, and the same
big
thing
bully.
With, yeah, exactly, and the same thing with fertilization. You put the fertilizer on there, which I'm going to do when I renovate his lawn, and water it. But that tree and those tree roots are like I say, they're all over this lawn, even to the outer edges of it, and it's going to suck up a great deal of that fertilizer along with the water. So we're going to have to upgrade his fertilization schedule. To give it more, of course, then the tree will grow faster, probably. But at least, our goal, my goal is to keep the lawn green. Mm-hmm. And we'll see how that all works
out. Has he ever thought about cutting the tree down?
I suggested that to him.
Oh, did you?
Oh, yeah. And he's saying, well, I don't know. It's shady, and it does shade their house.
Oh, okay.
It is really it's positioned well. It's on the south side of the house where the summer sun swings, you know, all summer.
Yes.
Yeah, and so there's some natural air conditioning. I also told him, well, we could just take the lawn out completely and build some mounds of soil and put some nice plants around, and that would decorate it real well. But they wanted lawn, but I may be able to talk them out of it. I don't know.
No.
We'll see. We'll see when we actually start the project and
see what comes up.
Yeah, see what comes up besides roots, tree roots, and stuff like that. Yeah, but. Anyway, at that baseball tournament, I was cooking by the end of the day, and I like I said, I think those kids were baked. It's just like, whoa, what are they doing out there?
Yeah, my dad would say that's good for them.
Yeah, it's good for you, right? Well, when you're 12 or 13, I guess it doesn't really matter.
Oh, man.
It was cooking me, and I was just sitting there watching.
I know.
Yeah. But I like real grass, okay? And there are some negatives to artificial turf. It can be used in the right way, but I think as a wholesale replacement for a regular lawn, I don't know.
It's kind of iffy.
Yeah, in my opinion, it's a little iffy. But, most major league professional stadiums now all have artificial turf.
I think football is too.
I'm not sure. Oh yeah. The Ducks and the Beavers and all that. I mean, Legion Field, they got it for crying out loud. That cost us $1 million over there.
Is that right?
To get that done, yeah.
Mama mia. Yeah.
And thankfully, we have some good people that follow us, so we were able to do that.
Yeah.
But
cool.
Yeah. So, I know. Sometimes people think a lot of what I say is repetitious, but over the years I found that repetition is what most non-professionals need, because they hear it once, and they say, "Oh yeah, I got that," and then a week later they're scratching their head. What did he say? So that's why I do repeat a lot of the same things, because there's new listeners coming on, and then and this is just to light the fire under somebody who forgot some of the things and go, "Oh yeah, I know now. I need to do that.
I remember that.
I remember that, because that happens to me all the time."
Me too. Halfway through something.
What was I supposed to do?
Exactly.
Oh gosh. Anyway, I get calls from homeowners all the time about their lawn looking bad and what they should do. Okay, well, on the phone it's pretty easy and all that. And sometimes they ask me to actually come out, and I do a consultation for them, and there's a fee attached to that. But I always ask two questions right off the bat. What is your watering program like, and what is your fertilizing program? And how often are you watering? How long are you watering? And what time of day are you watering? Mm. Those are all factors.
Makes a difference.
Yeah, there's all factors that are very important. And most of the answers I get are, well, I water every day for about 10 minutes every afternoon or every morning. And, there's the light bulb right there. And and I explain that every day is not needed, number one, and 10 minutes doesn't help the grassroots. 10 minutes of that water on a hot summer day is evaporated into the sky and turns into a cloud somewhere over Asia, I guess. But, it doesn't help your grassroots. It does not penetrate down into the root zone where that's where the actual growth happens.
Yeah.
And, my solution, I say, well, try this for a little while. And like once or maybe twice per week for at least 30 to 40 minutes. And I go, wow, that long. Yeah, that long. Because that's how long it's going to take. And you do it either early morning, you know, before the sun comes up, or after the sun goes down, so that the heat doesn't dissipate mm-hmm. and evaporate the vast majority of the water that's squirting on your sprinkler system that you're paying for crying out loud. Yeah.
And if you're going to pay for it, let it do some good.
You got your hand on the button.
Yeah, we got a break.
A break?
Yep. Nope. Last one for this afternoon.
No calls, but a break, huh?
Yeah.
I'm
hurt.
I'm very disappointed.
Well, make Mike happy and call.
Yeah, call me up.
News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.
This is KQEN Local Talk at 4 on News Radio 1240 KQEN.
All righty, we're moving into the final segment of Mike Winter's Lawn and Garden Show here.
Home stretch, and we've been talking about lawns and watering and all that kind of stuff.
I like that word, thatching.
Thatching, yes. Thatch that bugger. Okay. And as I tell the folks that call or that I'm visiting and I'm looking at their lawn, you know, if the roots don't get water, the grass becomes weak, sick, and could die. Mm. And that's where the thatching comes in. That's where the aeration comes in. And the water has to penetrate down into that root system or it's not going to work. You might as well take the lawn out if you don't want to take care of it mm-hmm. the proper way. And it's not an every year thing, as I said, but every maybe 3 years or every 4 years, you might have to go through, rent a machine, go through it, and kind of rejuvenate the whole thing. And if you and as I explained to him also, if you water early in the morning when it's cool, the water isn't evaporated into the sky, for crying out loud. And when you water in the hot sun, most of that water gets evaporated. And I see some of these businesses like, oh, say anywhere, along Garden Valley, for instance, they got a strip of lawn that's 50 feet long and 10 feet wide. And you got their sprinklers on at 2 o'clock in the afternoon in the middle of July. Mm-hmm. And I'm thinking, you're wasting water. You're spending money on something that's doing you absolutely no good.
It's running out on the sidewalk.
On the sidewalk, in the street, in the parking lot, wherever. But it's not doing the job. And they wonder why their lawn doesn't look good.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's the reason, if you're listening. The other question I ask of them are, do you mow your lawn short? And how often do you fertilize your lawn? And most answers are, oh yeah, we mow it short and we fertilize all about once a year. And I say, well, and then I explain that mowing too short promotes weed growth, and weak grass growth, and scorched earth. I mean, because say July through September, you've got hot beating sun coming down on it. And if you're scalping it every week to keep it short so you don't have to mow as often, that's what happens. And you'll notice, and I've told them, if you mow it short and then forget or to mow it the next week, and somehow you get pulled away or you go on vacation and you come back and your lawn is now 3 or 4 inches long but is green, that should give you a hint. Because the greener, taller, the taller the grass gets, the cooler the ground gets, the less penetration of sunlight gets down to the root zone. So consequently, like we were talking earlier in the show, grass cools places. Mm-hmm. Well, it cools itself because it shades the ground. And the moisture level stays, and if you mow it a little bit longer, you might have to mow more often, it won't brown up on you. Mm-hmm. And it also prevents a lot of weed growth, because when you scalp, weeds have a great shot at coming up and dominating.
Oh, they love it.
And when you scalp stuff, that's when the weeds really start to pop.
Yeah.
And once you explain that to people, they get it. And wow, my lawn's really looking great. Yeah, it is. You're doing a good job. All the people that we've done work for, you know, over the years, I can drive by their places, and their lawns are green. for the most part. And they're a little high, maybe a little shaggy, not really shaggy, but a little, you know, the guy next door is real short and brown, but theirs is long and green.
Uh-huh.
And that's the purpose.
Mm-hmm.
It's the purpose to have a green lawn. And that green lawn cools your property. It also makes oxygen. So, as we covered in the...
Yeah, and looks a lot better.
It looks a lot better. And it's a National Realtors Association, of course, talks about landscaping and selling houses.
Right.
And the biggest bang for the buck is when a client comes up to a home and it has a beautiful green lawn out front. That is like, wow, look at that. Isn't that neat? And so they're interested. They want to go in the home. If the lawn looks that good.
They must take care of the house.
Yeah, they must take care of the house. Exactly. And that a house with a green lawn sells quicker. They give some kind of percentage. I can't remember. But sells a lot quicker, stays on the market a lot less than one that's kind of brown and kind of yellowish and not really taken care of.
Kind of so-so, yeah.
Yeah. So economically, it's good. From a health point of view, it's good. I mean, it's good all the way around. So it's not that difficult. And actually, it's less work overall in the course of a year than thatching and doing all that stuff and kind of redoing.
Mowing it every day.
Yeah, mowing it every day and all that. Are we about?
Oh, about 40 seconds.
40 seconds. Well, here's your solutions. Leave the grass long and it gets good. Keeps out the weeds, stays greener, and cools off your yard. Okay, those are bottom lines. Fertilize at least 4 times a year with a top quality lawn food and the goodies spread. The quality of good fertilizer will do miracles for your lawn. And cheap fertilizer is like eating, Snickers bars or something
generic
like that.
Generic stuff.
Yeah. Fertilize in March, May, July, and September. Okay?
There you go.
Okay. Thank you for listening.
Whereabouts are you located again, Mike?
On Highway 99, half mile south of Winston. We got green roofs for all our buildings until that windstorm last week tore off the front of our big building.
Yeah.
But we're hopefully going to get the roof back on. We're still open.
It's in progress.
In progress. And our number is 679-8224.
All right. Thank you.
Bye-bye.